Elzomine. I realize I'm in the minority here, but while a lot of my fellow Northern Californians can't wait to get out into the newly fallen snow, I'm happy enjoying the fall colors while they're still here. In a couple of months, these same people will be whining about when the summer temps are going to be here. Why are so many people rushing off to the next? I'm also one of those people who need a home to be a sacred, quiet place to get away from the world. Mark Reef, on the other hand, invites the world into his home, which also happens to be a museum, a gas station museum. He has spent the last 14 years filling and surrounding his 1950s-built home with nostalgic memorabilia, most of which center around gas stations.
Been in the house since 78. Actually started collecting everything you see inside and outside actually 14 and three-quarter years ago.
And now. Three-quarters?
Yes.
So there's a specific date?
Actually, it was right after 9/11. Remodeled this, remodeled that, built this, built that.
So was 9/11 just a coincidence?
Just a coincidence, yes. Yep.
So it's an easy anniversary date.
Yeah, not a good one, but an easy one, yes.
Good news, bad news.
Yes, yeah.
But this is actually your home as well.
Yes, it is. I live in it. I've had virtually people from all over the world through here. I mean, it's mind-blowing. Of course, you know, with the website, it opens up the entire world. I guess maybe I could say the universe, too. I don't know. But the entire world, because, I mean, it's mind-blowing that the people that pull up out here, New Zealand, Hong Kong, Japan, Australia, I'm in awe. They come to see me and my home. That's the real fun part. Sometimes there's little language barriers, you know, we don't understand each other, but they all love everything American in 50s. That's the one thing they love.
That particular decade.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Back to the future.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
How about your neighbors? Have they been here as long as you have?
No, as a matter of fact, when I moved in, I was the youngest. Now I am the oldest in the neighborhood. So the neighborhood has changed, but everybody embraces the place. I mean, they just love it. I live inside of it. I don't get to see the outside except when I come home. Once in a while, I'll go over to my neighbor's and I'll sit in their porch. I said, you know, that's pretty damn cool. You know, to look back over at this, you know, which I get to see all the time. It's just amazing that the people that respect it too. I mean, I don't care how tall or how short these people are, what nationality they are. They all just seem to love it. I mean, people that walk by, junior high school kids walk by here, think it's the coolest place in the world. Of course, the ding bell works. So they all got to test that out, which is all right. That's what it's there for. And like I said before, just people from all over the world. And it's become, I guess, I don't want to say Woodland's coolest tourist attraction.
Well, I can just imagine the real estate agents as they're showing houses and the potential buyers saying, is this always here? Or is that
well,
always going to be?
Yeah. And believe me, there's a disclosure when someone buys a house.
I wondered about that.
Yes,
yeah.
There is. As a matter of fact, I have a street bash, my annual street bash I have once a year, which is the second Saturday in June. This was probably 2 or 3 years ago. I'm down the street handing out a little invite to this people. Well, there's a young lady standing with her back to me, and she's talking to these people, and she's a real estate person trying to sell these people this duplex down the street. Well, I'm standing there. I'm pretty patient. Pretty soon, my patience was running thin, but I wasn't angry. I said, excuse me. Well, the young lady turned and said, oh, hey, Mr. Reef. I didn't know her. She was a real estate person. She says, oh, is there a problem? I said, no. I said, I just want to give you an invite and these people invite to my street bash. So, oh, well, I was telling them about your place down there. And she says, you want to see something really cool? I says, yeah. On the heading of their real estate form, they've got a picture of my airplane up in the corner. That's what they use as their landmark. So,
wow.
Yeah. That's cool.
So let's take a virtual tour. Of course, this has been showcased on TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. My listeners may have seen it on television, but those who have not and have not been able to visit here in person, how would you describe the front part of your property that you only see when you drive home? Left to right.
Well, when you come around the corner off of McKinley Street onto Jefferson, first thing you're going to notice is a car into the garage, and the airplane's crashed in the same garage. They're picking on that garage, which they need to back off. But then you'll see a diner, a 50-style diner, and then you see the gas station out front. The pumps are real, but the pumps don't have gas. There's no tanks in the ground, you know. Like I said, at nighttime it's lit up, so it's pretty cool at night too.
We've got Big Boy in the roof.
Yep, Big Boy's up there.
What are some of the gas stations that you have represented out front?
Texaco and Sinclair. And then, of course, I've got numerous signs out there. Penn's Oil, God, I think Texaco's out there, a lot of different signs.
And so right now we're standing in your living room, mm-hmm. which looks like your basic living room, except there's a rather large plane.
There's a story behind that, too. For 5 years, there's an antique shop in Sacramento called Antique Trove, I believe it is, over off of 80. I'd go into there and just look around at different things. Well, this thing was hanging in one of them little cubicles for years. I could never get to see the price of it. I didn't have my cheaters, didn't have a ladder. Finally, one day, my brother and my sister-in-law were over having lunch one day. So I said, come on, we're going to go ahead and check out this place. I had my pickup, they came with me, so we get over there. And there's a young guy working there. I asked him, I said, hey, can you do me a favor? He said, what's that? I said, find out how much you want for that airplane. Gets up there, comes back, tells me $225. I said, $225? Now, I know it'd been hanging there for 5 years. He said, yeah. I said, well, ask the guy if he'll take $200 cash. So he called him. The guy said, yes. Thing went in the back of my truck, and there it is.
And what are the dimensions of that?
Oh, my God. I'd say the wingspan on that is easily 6 feet. It's probably 6.5 feet wingspan and a 5-foot body on it.
And there's a sticker on it.
It says Texaco.
Ethel.
Well,
specifically.
Yeah. Ethel, yes. Yeah. Which is no longer, you know, that was when we had leaded gas. And then as you look around, not many people have an old wood-burning stove in their front room as a piece of furniture.
But the brand on it, the menu.
Called a Home Comfort. And what amazes me is the people that I have through here. The older people, you know, I want to say the wisdom people. They'll tell me stories of their mothers, their grandmothers cooking on these. And it just amazes me how they cooked on these. First of all, it's wood. That's how they would cook. I mean, you know, you had to be talented. You know, it's not push a button for 30 seconds in the microwave. This is... And it's a beautiful piece of furniture. Besides that, it doubles when they were cooking as a heater. It'd heat the house. But it's just truly amazing.
And how did you come to get that piece?
Out of an antique shop here in town. And it's something you don't want to move too often.
No, I imagine not.
No, they're pretty heavy. And then as you look around, I've got several pedal cars.
I love the pedal car.
This one here, which I got that off of eBay from some people back in the Midwest. The story they gave me on that, it's called a Little Jimmy. It was built and designed for JCPenney's, and it was in a window for JCPenney's back east as a display model. It had been in someone's attic for 60 years when I bought it. That's the story I got.
Was it all cleaned up?
That's exactly the way it is. I got it.
What about this other one here?
This one here I got from a friend here in town. And these are all original. Little old steam engine, yeah.
That's pretty cool, too.
Mm-hmm. Then I've got one here on the table, which is, it's a ride-on. Kids could ride on that.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess so. Yeah, the seat's big enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. they had some that had the little steering wheel come up through the chimney right there that you could turn the front wheel with when you pushed it.
I wondered.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're just like Fred Flintstone.
Oh, yeah, freewheeling.
And he's got a lot of old Post magazines lying next to it.
Oh, yeah, I've got a lot of Post magazines around the house. They say raise the ceilings up in here 9 years ago, as I say, to make room for more junk. And my fireplace is, that's all man-made stone. And the room you walk through to begin with used to be the garage. Back 65 years ago when this home was built, most people only had one car in their house, in their homes. So, you know, we didn't have 4 and 5 cars, so you only needed one car, one garage. And when I started this whole process, first, I took this section out, and I thought, well, you know, what the hell? Why not just take the whole thing out, open it up? And it made it, you know, a lot more roomier. To me, it's comfortable.
So this was built in the 50s, early 50s?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're showcasing 1950s memorabilia.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And you've got an old wooden barber shop.
That's an old wooden barber pole. Yes, that's a very old one. And I've got a hay... what they call a hay trolley here. That's where they used to put hay bales in and out of a barn on. An old coffee mill laying here. Of course, you got the big trunk.
It's an old steamer. No parking in the circle.
And then I got everyone's...
And if you hear us creaking, that's to the floor.
That's the floor, yes. And that's... people come in here and just go ape crap over my floor. Well, when I was raising the ceilings up in here, I had Berber carpet down. I had a table saw in my front room, cutting the wood every night. I'd vacuum it up. By the time I got done, the carpet was crap. Pulled it up. I left the carpet pad down. the rubber pad. So there's 2x4s that run every 18 inches down here. And I put the wood on a bias so it looked bigger. Of course, then I cover up with everything so you can't see the wood. But it creaks because it's floating. It's a floating floor. And this is just dug fir right out of a lumberyard. It's nothing special. This whole floor, top to bottom, was like $375. I did it myself, so, you know. But I like the creak of it, and it just, it's...
Yeah.
There used to be a wall here with a pocket door. I took that out, so it opened it up. This used to be the dining room. That used to be the kitchen. I call it a bump your ass kitchen, because you'd open the oven door, bump your ass in the kitchen sink. So I added all this on.
So you've got quite a variety of items here.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of kitchen, you've got the different type of eggs.
Yep, eggs, peewee, pellet, medium and large, and extra large. I have something here for everybody. It's just not for the gearhead. A lot of people pull up, they think it's just for the guys with the hot rods and stuff. That's what I kind of was going for. But when I saw that, you know, everybody has girlfriends, wives, or little kids, figured, hey, you know, so I collect everything that everybody really likes. I mean, it's just amazing.
Do you have donations? You said someone gave, a friend gave you the one item.
Yep.
You find things online.
Yeah. The majority of them at petroleum-related or automobile-related swap meets. A lot of people think I go to antique stores. I have, not for the bigger stuff, of course, but I've got 44 gas pumps around here. I don't know how many signs.
So what catches your eye that's not petrol related?
If I see it and I like it, then, you know.
Just kind of a...
Yeah, it's one of those things. I don't know.
Just something about it.
Yes, exactly.
So we're looking at some more pedal cars here. Yep. What's this green one? Looks like an old pickup.
It's an old tow truck, and that's what they call a ride-on. It's a child's ride-on toy, as you can see, because of the steering wheel. They sit right there where the boom is, push it with their feet, and away they go. And an old train, fire engine, and a Jeep.
So do you know what the ages are of some of these?
These are in the early 50s, like 51, 52.
So you try to stick with that decade as much as possible, or just...
Well, yeah, you know.
As the base, anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Now, this object here, out of all the people who have been through here, there's only been 3 people that know what that is.
That bench light?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
I'm sure this was leather instead of a shoestring, but you would sit there where that torch is. It's foot operated.
You got the pump. Did I have one of those?
Nope.
No, I didn't have that. Okay.
And I tell everybody, I call it the first Vegematic. And they look at me like, why? Well, down in here, there's 4 blades. Put a potato in here, quarters it for planting.
For planting?
Mm-hmm. Potatoes are roots, so they put a bucket underneath there. As fast as they put the potatoes in there, they quarter them. I guess it was faster with a knife, and then they could use them to go plant.
Wow.
Yeah. And I have no idea how old it is. It was well used because the wood is really, I mean, worn. It's, I think someone built that. This may be one of a kind, if you know what I mean. Because I don't see, you know, there's no maker's marks on it. It looks to me like everything was put together in someone's shop. It's quite unique, though.
So how did you come to this?
It was an antique shop way back in a corner. I mean, you couldn't see this thing to save your life because I was helping a guy clean out, and I see this thing. I mean, it's dust. I asked Davis, what are you going to do with that? He says, if you can get it out, you can have it. Well, that's the stupidest thing in the world to tell me. Said the same thing about that ice box.
Really?
Yes. Now, let me tell you what. It didn't take me too long to get that out of there. It's heavy, but I got it out.
So did either one of you know what this was?
He didn't know.
This potato quarter?
No, and like I said, I found out probably 9-10 years ago. A guy came through here and explained to me exactly what it was, and it makes perfect sense. Shortly after, I've gotten so cocky where I'll tell people, I'll bet you $1,000. Well, when a couple of guys come up and said, that's a potato quarter, I said, well, I'm going to lower that bid down, you know. I'll go $100. I'll tell them, I'll bet you $100 you don't know what that is. People look at it, and a lot of them think it's something for knitting, you know, making yarn. I said, no, that's over here. But, yeah, it's definitely a conversation piece.
An old gas can, an old torch.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And there's another old ice box.
Oh, well, that's an old refrigerator.
Precursor to the...
This one here, yeah, that was... That one here is from about 18... 1926.
I was going to say, it looked like the 20s.
Yeah. I was down at Nugget Market here, and a friend of mine, retired CHP, this is about 2 years ago now. I'm sitting there having coffee, and he comes up, and he said, Mark, my mother had this old refrigerator, so it wouldn't be a General Electric with a compressor and motor on top. He said, yeah. I said, what do you want for it? He said, we're going to give it to you. We're going to donate it to you.
Nice.
He said, but it's covered with rust. I said, I don't care. So I get over there to his mom's house. She had used it from 1926 to about 1958, shoved it in her garage. Now, she cooked in the kitchen with it, of course. What it was grease spatter. So I used Oven Easy Off on there, and it cleaned it up really, really nice. I took it to my shop. This thing, like I said, one of my favorite sayings is, it'll make you have naked babies, it's so heavy to lift. I took it to my shop, I plugged it in, fired right up. I mean, just took off, got cold, the whole Marianne. I left it sit there and run for a whole month. $10 worth of electricity. I said, I can live with that. Brought it home, plugged it in over there. Commercial, residential. $10, $100. So needless to say, it's sitting there unplugged.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But other than that, it works perfect. Built like a safe. I mean, you look at that, I mean, and it's heavy. Of course, it's not frost-free either, but you know. Yeah, it's a really nice piece, but it took me 45 minutes to get it from there to here, so it's not moving again real soon either.
The Iceman stayeth.
Yes. Yep.
So, of course, we got a big old scale.
I've got scale there. I've got scales. I've got scales everywhere.
Here a scale, there a scale.
Yes. And then, of course, everyone's got a 51 Studebaker bullet nose coming through their kitchen wall.
Oh, yeah.
And at nighttime, the headlights come on when the lights over the gas pumps come on. Oh. And there again, I raised the ceilings up in here 7 years ago, I believe.
The old pair of skis.
Mm-hmm. Yep, those are from the 40s.
And those boots?
Those are the ski boots, yes. That's a matching set.
Nice.
Older couple in town here called me, and Brosh was their name. He said, my wife and I have got something we want to donate to your museum. I said, really? I said, well, and I wasn't really calling it a museum then, you know. I said, well, let me come down and take a look at it. I didn't care what it was. I was taking it, you know. So I get in there. He has these. He says, this is what we want you to have. And these baseball cleats here, those are his and hers. Yes, they both played baseball. And I look at those. Of course, I've never snow skied. But people come in and say, boy, she said, primitive. I said, pretty much.
That's when you had to really know how to ski.
Yeah. This room we're standing in now used to be a screened-in patio.
Yes, the floor is all brick.
Yeah. And it wasn't. It's just like everything else. I did that. But where this, there's an area right here. I used to have an old 1820s bandsaw sitting here that I watercolor, so that's where I'd sit and paint when I look out the back window. Well, I put this little section down here. It wasn't very big. By hand, put all the bricks in there. Well, when I decided to put these bricks down, I go to a lumber yard here in town. I'm telling this guy, I'm going to put these bricks down. I said, I hate getting down there and putting that mortar in. He said, want to know the easy way? I said, well, hell yes. He said, put all the bricks down, get your bags of mortar, open it up, sprinkle it down there, sweep it in, bring a garden hose in, wet it down.
That's it.
That's it. But the one thing you don't want to do, muriatic acid, which cleans off all the excess. You want to have windows open immediately.
trust me.
Because my kids, they were older then, but they weren't here. And I had this door closed, all the windows. The minute I poured it down, I thought, because it started fuming up, and real quick, So just a word of advice to you listeners.
I have to add an ER unit.
Yes.
That looks like it belongs on a Victrola.
Yep, there's the. This is the.
So they became unattached at some point, huh?
Yeah, it's missing a part to hold it up here, and that's all this thing was. It'd sit there like that. And this thing is, you want to talk.
Winding it up.
And this little plunger right here would determine what speed your record is. So basically, you just pull this back. Of course, this is out of round. You could make it go slower, and then you'd actually just put your needle on the record.
So a lot of cans of food.
Yep.
Big ones of coffee and.
Yeah, a lot of tins. When I started building this little general store here, I'd went up into Grass Valley in Nevada City looking for one of these counters. Well, they want 25,000 to 30,000 for these things.
Describe the counter to my listeners so they understand what we're looking at.
Well, it resembles an old 1800s general store where you have the bins full of dry goods that the clerk would get out. You come in and say you want this and that, you know, and he'd shovel it out and put it in a bag or a burlap sack or whatever, weigh it, and that's what it is.
So there's glass fronts.
Glass
so you
fronts,
see what's
yes.
In each
mm-hmm.
bin.
Yeah. And, of course, I had to put noodles and stuff in there, you know. Hey, it works. People get the general idea. And that's something I did. I built that for, like, $220. Compared to $25,000, I thought I was doing real well. But I wanted an older-style general store. That's what I was going for out here. And back 6 years ago when I started this, I had no tins whatsoever. So it's one of those things, you know, you get started, you just can't stop. You see the Hills Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Those are, I'm sure those were from restaurants because they're so
they're
big.
Huge.
See the snowflakes?
Mm-hmm.
Now see the blue one? There's a swastika. American snowflakes. That's pre-war.
Wow.
I had some guy come in here to collect the tins. He's drooling down his face. I want that. I want that. I'll pay you whatever. I said, no, it's not for sale. Whatever. I said, it's not for sale. I sell it to you. I can't share it with someone else, you know. He said, I have never seen another one like that. I said, well, I'm sorry. I found that, I want to say, in the antique store over off of Highway 50. I forget what it was called now. But I just was over there looking at tins, and I saw that, and I thought, I noticed the swastika, but it didn't really sink in at the time. When I got up the counter, the lady says, oh, look at that. I said, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. I said, wow.
And, of course, because it's a general store, you have an old cash register.
Yep, very old cash register.
And what's the brand on that one?
That's an old brass one. I'm not sure what model it is, 45, 46.
I like this old shoe sign. Is that for a...
Yep.
Yes, it's for a cobbler, I guess.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
B. Rosenberg & Sons. $2.50 for women, $3.50 for men.
It was an old newspaper. It was from early to middle 1800s. I'm sure everybody, your listeners probably all know what a sleigh bed is. Well, this was a sleigh bed, which was called, I think it was a, I don't know if they called it a queen or whatever, but it was the sleigh bed, the two nightstands, the vanity with a bench, dresser drawers, and an armoire. $9.95. $9.95 for everything. Well, of course, this is back in 1800s. Who in the hell could not afford that? Well, when you're making 5 to 6 cents a day and you got to pay rent someplace, you know.
Oh, relative.
Yeah, now the sleigh beds are $3,000 and $4,000 just for the bed. Yeah. So it's just, I'm looking at it, wow.
Perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to walk into the kitchen area.
Okay.
And as you said, there's a... More scales.
More scales.
The grinder.
Yep, the meat grinder. Got an apple peeler here. And the thing that amazes me about this is probably, I'm going to guess, late 18 and 1900s. There's 9 of these little cog wheels that make this thing operate. It's just, you know, and I call it... what's that game where they have the stacks of wooden things, Chinga or whatever it is?
Oh, yeah.
This little thing right here, you pull that out, it comes
apart.
I have not done that and not about to because I don't think I could get it back together. But
how did you know what it was? I would have no idea.
When I bought it from the guy in the antique shop.
Oh.
And you actually put the apple right on here, and okay. this little blade right here turns. I've put apple on there. It doesn't work real well, but it basically does the trick.
Then for chunky applesauce,
yes.
Then, huh?
And then a big cream separator. I've had thousands of people through here. Everybody, oh, I know it. I used to have to turn that handle. Well, I'm standing over here one day. There's a busload, 52 people on a bus jump off here one day to come through here. I've had 16 tour buses through here. I'm standing here talking to a couple of old ladies, and there's a couple old guys standing right here. And I can hear 3 or 4 conversations going on. Well, this one old boy is saying, Bob, that's not a real cream separator. And the guy says, Jim, I know it is. I've worked one of those all the time. He says, no, it's not. So I come over, I said, that's a real cream separator. He says, no, it's not. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, there's no flies around it. So I have really thought about getting some real thin wire. I have some flies sticking up someplace, you know, just
that's
to,
pretty funny.
Just, yeah, I thought, okay.
There's a guy you want to have a couple beers with.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
And you've got a lot of rolling pins in this.
Yeah, a lot of rolling pins. And I think back to some of this. There's a couple of sitcoms. I don't know if it was Lucy or somebody used to chase somebody around with a rolling pin. Maybe it was Over to Moon, to the Moon, which Alice, one of them, I don't know. But I think, well, they had a lot to pick from.
This bullet-shaped.
That is a smoothie cocktail. Maker.
Oh, it's a smoothie maker? Oh, it looks like a cocktail.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yep.
Like a martini shaker?
Yeah, exactly.
Bullet-shaped?
Yeah. And then I got an old meat slicer that I picked up, believe it or not, at a automobile swap meet. And I mean, this thing, it would still work today. And this is another thing that's it's heavy, you know. I like heavy stuff, I guess. But yeah, it's quite the piece.
And are these waffle makers?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my best friends from fourth grade. He gave that to me quite a few years back. His mom, I used to eat waffles off those. They lived over here on Beamer and West Street. There were seven kids in the family. And when Saturdays and Sundays, you go over there, there'd always be waffles cooking. And that thing cooked, I couldn't even begin to tell you how many waffles were cooked on that.
It's part of your personal history.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
cool.
Yeah. I haven't plugged it in, but I'll guarantee you. I think Joey told me, he said, one of them quit working, but the other one still works. So I don't know.
Yeah, those are kind of scary, those old
wires
and cords.
Yeah, when you got cloth cords and stuff like that.
The toaster my mom had, I just look at that and, oh, I remember that. When it started to get frayed a little bit,
mm-hmm.
You know, like taking your life in your own hands. That's a tiny little bicycle hanging up there.
That little bicycle, I'm guessing is probably right around early 1800s. It's what they call a skip tooth, because on the back, on the sprockets, you know how we have a tooth every, well, this has got a tooth. So it's what they call a skip tooth chain, you know. And they had to be really, really tiny. Well, if you notice, a lot of the pedal cars, the older ones, were smaller. People in general were just smaller back then. They just weren't, you know, they weren't as tall. They were just, people were tinier.
I know. I tried on clothing and shoes and...
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't even born that small, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Very discouraging.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have an actual real refrigerator.
Yeah, you got to have
something practical here.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Wedgwood. I got that. There's a story behind this. Probably 2 years before I got this one, I'm going down the street down here. It's raining. And at the end of the street, there's a guy remodeling the house. Well, I look down this driveway. Here's this Wedgwood stove. I pull in there. Well, there's a pickup backed in. And the kid that was there, he really didn't understand what I was saying. Because the guy told me, he said, first come, first serve. Well, I couldn't get in there because that pickup was there. I said, I'll be back. Well, somebody else knew about it. They come over and they took the drawers. I didn't think about that because who wants a stove without the drawer? So the guy just took the drawers and came back later to get the rest of the stove when the pickup was moved. So it was probably, like I say, 3 or 4 years later, I'm going through the Sacramento Bee, the antiques collectible section, and I see this Wedgwood stove on there for sale, $500. So I called the guy. He says, yeah, he said, my mom used it every day. The guy was probably about my age. I said, well, I'd come over and take a look at it. Because I've seen some wrecks. Trust me. I went over there and I walked in. I said, that's it. And I mean, she used it every day. She had to wipe it down all the time. I mean, it was just immaculate.
It is.
And then all the scratches up here, he did that. He used steel wool to clean it up. I said, you'd never do that.
Mm.
But other than that, yeah, it's nice.
All these little tiny bits and pieces, which
yeah.
Are nice.
Then my pots and pan rack is an old buggy wheel.
An old phone or an old...
Well, yeah, that was part of an old phone. More scales, another parlor stove.
And you've got a couple of old stoves
yes.
here, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wood-burning, not cooking on.
Right,
just,
yeah, and then I got this one here.
And what kind of stove is this? This is an old
This is
an
old Bucks.
Old Bucks.
Yeah. It was gas, and they also burnt papers in it.
And a couple little typewriters, which is pretty cool.
Oh yeah,
we got a Corona and an Underwood.
Now, I had a class through here a couple years ago, and there's three or four young ladies standing here. They're probably 12, 13 years old. And I told this one young lady, I said, "Do me a favor." She says, "What's that?" I said, "Come over here and pick this up." Well, it's heavy. She says, "I can't." I said, "Well, you think about this. A reporter had to take this out in the field with him and type on it." And I said, they were very noted for the keys, the things always getting stuck up here. I said, yeah. I said, so just remember this. This, compared to what you got now, you've got it made, okay?
Yeah.
You've got it made.
I remember they converted over to computers, and, you know, I don't want to hear you whining. I do not want to hear you whining.
Yeah,
you
well.
Know, it's like having carbon strips, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, just imagine when they went from this to that. I mean, you know.
My mom had a Royal.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember doing a couple reports in high school. And the red and black tapes, you have to flip the switch.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
Now we're going outside. It looks like you're entering Alice in Wonderland. We've got a black and white
patio.
Yeah,
well, because I built a little 50-style diner here, which is a mess right now. But the first shot right out of the bag after I finished this diner, I had a little girl. She had her 11th birthday party here. There was 12 little girls running around in poodle skirts here.
Oh, cute.
They just had a blast. All 12 of them stuffed in these booths right here, just having a blast. They had, this is the backyard.
So we got the booths, the red and white.
Yep. The booths I built, had them upholstered. I made the booths.
And the tables themselves?
The tables got from a scrapyard, the bases. And it's nothing but plywood and covered with galvanized on the top.
You've got an old
jukebox, Rockola. It will hold close to 245s. I had it plugged in. Don't know if it works. When I first bought it, plugged it in, a little staticky. So I thought, well, we'll unplug her. Again, old. It's probably just the dust. One of these days, I'd like to get it working. But it's missing the side panels that cover up this here. Just little things.
So some of the artists that, when it was last played, we got Elvis Presley, Art Mooney, Peg of My Heart, Dean Martin, Roy Acuff, Pat Boone, Paula and Paula, Jim Duvall, Roger Miller, Ned Miller, Bobby Vinton, Turtles, Buck Owens, Chet Atkins.
That thing turns, too, so there's, like I say, there's more on there. But.
And some of these are handwritten.
Yes.
As opposed to...
Well, yeah, I'm sure they were changing them all the time,
And of course, we have a huge Chevron gasoline.
Yep, huge. Yep. Then we got a Pegasus, mobile flying horse.
An old Shell motor oil sign. Looks like it's been shot up a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably. I'm going to guess that's probably real, real early 1900s. Early. That's the old stone tool sharpener that you sit on. And this was the deluxe model because it had the little thing here for the water to drip into. Instead of having a hose, you just put water in and drip out of there slowly, just enough to keep the wheel wet.
Got Royal, Exide batteries, old Milwaukee sign.
Oh, yeah.
What was visual aligner?
For front end alignments.
Okay.
Then we got an old Ringer washing machine. That's one of the things that was donated. I come home one day, it's in my driveway, and no note or no nothing on
really?
It. Yeah, and so as I'm pushing it back here, I'm thinking, well, this is the perfect ice chest. Take the agitator out, it'll hold 3 cases of beer, trust me, on ice, and it stays cold forever, and as it melts, the water goes into the plants. And then more pedal cars, and then I built a bar out here, a built-in bar. Of course, you got to have 2 gas pumps at the end of your bar. Everybody's got to have that.
Hello. And that's a huge cash register.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little wider than that.
Not as big as that one.
Competing?
Yeah.
Dueling cash register.
That one there, I was online, and it was an online auction, which I've never... I'm green with a computer to this date. I mean, I can turn it on and look at things. But I get into this online auction, and there was a few signs I was interested in. Well, I get on there, and I'm thinking, how does this work, So I'm moving the mouse around. I see the little indicator. Well, there's a truck that comes on here. It's what they call a sea cab, probably 1904, 1905, and it had a tanker on the back. So it was gas station related. Starting bid was $6,000. So I look at this thing, and I see this thing that says bid, and I'm just horsing around, bid. It says internet bidder. I thought, oh, crap. Oh, crap. I'm sitting there pretty soon. Floor bidder, so there was somebody there. I thought, well, maybe I'll do it again just to see if it was me. No way, because it started out at $6,000 and I'm gonna have to have it shipped. Wasn't gonna happen. So as I'm going through this thing, I see these signs where you can put bids in and walk away, just don't have to be right there and compete if you just want to put a dollar amount down and let it go. So I bid $60 on that thing. No way in hell I'm going to get that. Well, I did. Cost me $280 to have it shipped from Las Vegas to here because it's so damned heavy.
So you knocked a few zeros off that $6,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it wasn't a truck either, but hey, it's a cool cash register.
Now, did this used to be a driveway or a garage?
Nope, this used to be the backyard.
Okay, so just to give my listeners an idea, we got one end. Again, we're outside. It's covered, open end on one side. We've got two bars in here, one at each end.
Yeah, well, this is a bar. That one's a built-in barbecue. You can use it for a bar, too. But I've got a built-in
bar.
That
looks like a bar to me.
Yeah.
Yes, I see now the overhead.
Overhead, the hood, and the barbecue's right behind the little gas station.
Okay. Got, of course, the stools, the round stools like you find in the old soda jerk fountains. In fact, you've got an old...
It's a Coke dispenser is what it was. You'd hook up the syrup and all that to it, and it'd come out through there.
And as you said, on either end of the bar... are the two. We've got Richfield, and the other end is Super Shell.
Yep, toll time gas pumps from 1936.
So those are the bookends, as it were, of the bar. And then the barbecue corner, which is just, I don't know how many feet this is.
Oh, this is, it's about...
I mean, from here, between the bar and the...
Oh, from the wall to there, it's about 37 feet by 18 feet wide. It's all covered, and everything stays out here all year long, winter, summer, fall, spring, whatever time of the year it is.
I just love that you have the bar and the barbecue is all in one room, but outside.
Yeah.
I love that. And in between you have this rusted, what the hell is that?
Well, a lot of people think it's for ice cream.
but this looks like a...
It's for oil.
Yeah.
It's an oil cart, and what it is, it's for, like, there was two different weights, 30 weight and 20 weight. You can see just the seam here where there's two different tanks here where I've got some out front where they're called high boys. It used to be the bulk oil. You'd come up and you put this bottle underneath there, put a quart into it, and you go back and pour it in your car. You want to talk about recycle? You know, here we got these, they had card, well, they went from glass to metal, from metal to cardboard, now we're to plastic. I don't know what the hell's wrong with the glass. Telling you. Of course, a set of these, I've got two sets, one out front, one over here. A complete set of these jars with the rack. They're a little expensive today, mainly because they're glass, and a lot of the times the lids get lost, and you know, there's no complete set. So when you run across a complete set, especially there's some tall, square ones. There we go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The Holy Grail?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, a huge Flying A service sign.
Mm-hmm. Neon Flying A sign.
More. So you turn all these lights on, anything that's neon at
night? Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I have the parties. Matter of fact, I got a wedding come up here the 6th. They're having a wedding back here.
The wedding or the reception? Or the
wedding, both. Wedding and reception, both, yeah. I've had several weddings, baby showers, birthdays.
Well, it's truly unique.
Yeah.
So as I say, this is covered, but it's still outside. So one side where the wall normally would be is open.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a bar.
Yeah.
So you can look out into the grassy area.
Right. And I built this lower specifically for the chafing dishes, you know, because they usually set up all the food here. That way you can, you know, feed the cattle through here, basically. And then they go out and sit wherever.
So in the backyard, the fence is just plastered with all sorts of...
Yeah. And then I've got four big signs up in the air.
And that was sun... Sunco that he...
Sunco, yes.
That he just tapped the...
Now...
The pole of...
When I... The first sign I bought was this Shell sign. That's a 1936, what they call a clamshell. I got that from a guy back in Woodstock, Illinois. I bought that on eBay. Let me tell you what. I was so scared. Because the neon works. I had the pole made. We had to bring the pole over the back fence. Because it wouldn't fit through any of the garage doors because that arm up there. But below each one of these, all of them, there's 4 foot by 4 foot by 4 foot of concrete underneath each one of these signs with rebar and J-bolts. Well, this sign right here is probably 560 pounds. You don't want it coming down on anybody. And you notice the way they all face like this, except for that one. Because of the north wind that blows through here, if it was like this, eventually it would work it loose.
Gotcha.
This way here, it just kind of cuts through it.
So as we're standing in this cozy little yard, you know, we got the Texaco Atlas tires.
Yep.
Phillips, then we got 66. The huge Firestone.
Yep.
Then we got DX. Then we got Havilland Sunoco and Union Oil Dealer, which all kind of look like they're the... That's what's in each complex, if you will, but obviously that's not. So we've just visited the bar barbecue,
yep.
The little 50s diner, soda jerk kind of ambiance. And what are these other two over here?
Well, just other places to sit. You know, you got to have different vantage points. If you're always looking that way or this way, it's boring.
But there is a flow here, though. There is definitely a pattern. Everything looks and feels like it belongs.
Yeah. Well, that's what everybody says when they come through. God, you got an eye for decorating. I said, well, I don't know about that. I paint watercolors, so maybe it's the artist in me that can place things. I don't know. Because some of the crap in the house has been right where it's at for 10 years.
Well, and the house is a little different, I have to say.
Yeah.
Inside is not the same as out here. Out here is definitely, if you want a party or a gathering of some sort.
Yeah,
this is perfect ambiance.
Yeah.
It's quirky, but it's cozy.
The first prize party I had back here after I got rid of, no, I still had the pond, was a young lady. She just turned 16 out of Vacaville. Well, her mother come up and she says, well, I want to come look at it. She said, I want to do some decorating. I said, well, why don't you come and look first? She walks through that back gate. She says, holy shit, I don't have to do any decorating. I said, well, that's why I told you to come look first. So they had a little three-piece band up here in the corner. Their daughter showed up, and I like screwing with people. You know, I really do. Anyway, she's walking through the garage. She said, oh, my God, this place is so cool. I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, well, I said, you know, usually, $7 per person for tours and whatnot. But you know what? I'll give you the nickel tour. I said, I'll tell you what. Go ahead and go through that door. I'll catch right up with you. I got some shit I got to do up front here. She hit that door. They yelled, surprise. I think she peed herself. I really do. But she was so surprised. She turned around to me, just as big tears running down her face. And I said, gotcha. And then two ladies just this year. Last year, their mother turned 80. Well, she said she didn't want any party. Well, they gave her one this year. She was 81. She had no clue. No clue what was going on. I'm out front. And the two sisters, the one was back here organizing everything. Well, the other one brought mom, right? While they're walking up, and I'm out there wiping my car down. And I'm stopped. I said, how you doing? One lady said, are you Mark? I said, yeah. Who are you? And the daughter's looking at me like, well, we're so. I didn't have any tours this late at night. I said, what the hell are you doing here? And she said, well, we're. I said, and you are? Yeah, she's like, I didn't know who she was. I said, and you are? She said, well, my name's Mary. I said, how you doing, Mary? I said, what the hell? I said, is this your daughter? She said, yeah. I said, I didn't have any tours this time of night. She's Mary. I said, I told you. I said, well, you know what? Seeing you here, I said, come on. I said, just head through that door. I'll catch right up with you. That little old lady, because I asked him, I said, does she have a good heart? I said, you guys yell at her, she might die. But she had a blast. She really did.
So I like that in your little diner here, you have an old Hazel Club Sparkling True Orange. Enjoyment guarantee.
Yep. Then KO was an old chocolate drink. Cola, and we got gold bond stamps up here.
And what do we have here on top of this old?
Well, these things here are miner's caps, miner's lights. And then that's an old field phone from World War II, which probably still works.
Diversity lives here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. There's really no rhyme or reason. It's a little bit of something for everybody.
So what was your most recent catch of the day?
I would say the Firestone sign. That was about a year ago. And then over in the other garage, there's more crap to look at over there. Bought that at a swap meet. And that's the only sign that got bigger when it went up because it was all on the ground. And it was all a faded red. And I knew it was porcelain underneath there. So I got it for a decent price. You know, I had to dicker with the guy a little bit. I'm waving money around in front of him. No. I said, okay. You know, getting late in the day, you're just going to have to haul it home with you. It's something big like that. No, most people don't want to do that. So I walked off and went down and looked at some other stuff. Picked up an old Coca-Cola icebox that was in the corner, which is right about 100 years old as we speak. I get back there and I said, well, I said, it's even later now. He hits me with another price. I said, no, that's what I'm going to give you. Cash money right now. And he said, nope. I said, okay. I probably got from here to the fence. He says, cash money? I said, cash money. There we go. I came home and got this, it's a paint remover. It's like a gel stuff. Took me probably 2 days to get it all cleaned off. But I knew it was porcelain underneath there, and I find out why. It was up on a building, and when they on the building, they spray painted the building white, and there's overspray on the, that's why they painted it red. God, it would have been a lot less, there was only that much white paint. That had been so much easier to clean off than the whole letter, trust me. So, yeah.
So what are some of the some of the feedback that you get that kind of stuck with you, some of the stories?
A lot of it's people that come through here, and like I say, they're older people. They say, oh, God, you know, I'm surprised I can remember that. I says, it's a good thing, apparently, with today. I said, you know, this thing they call Alzheimer's. I said, first of all, I said, when I was younger, I forgot something. Damn it, I just forgot it. There was no medicine to try to make me remember what the hell it was. Besides that, the side effects on that medicine is going to kick your butt anyhow. I said, yeah, that's right. I said, so if you forgot it, don't worry about it. It wasn't that damned important. But this brings back so many fond memories, you know. The National Enquirer did a story on me shortly after 9/11. And I didn't have near as much stuff then. The Sacramento Bee did an article. Well, it went over the AP wire. And I want to say, it was no more than 4 or 5 months after 9/11, I get this call. Well, this here used to be a sun deck up here. And there was plants down here and all this crap. And I come down from up there, and there's this message. This guy, he's an Englishman. Hello, I'm looking for Mark Reef, you know. This is Philip Smith. He left me this number. I said, oh, wow. This has got to be one of my friends pulling my leg, you know. Philip Smith, you couldn't think of a better name than that. So I write it down. I call the next day. This guy answers the phone. Hello, I said, who is this? This is Philip Smith. I said, right. I said, really, who is this? Well, this is Philip Smith with the National Enquirer. I said, no, really, who the hell is this? You know, he says, I'm this. So he starts rattling off this thing from the Sacramento Bee. He's like, oh, maybe he's legit. I said, yeah, what is it you want? He said, well, all the bad stuff going on with 9/11, we saw this article. We want to do a story on it. Really? Okay. He said, well, I'm going to send a photographer up from L.A., took the guy 2 weeks to get here. Must have been a slow donkey he rode on. His wife was pregnant, so he had other things pending. So he gets up here, and he parks across the street. He gets up. Oh, wow. This was right when I started. There was hardly anything here. He said, this is so cool. He had just interviewed Phyllis Diller shortly before. He said, very nice lady, but very sterile home. I said, are you trying to tell me something here? He says, oh, no. He said, this is a photographer's dream here. He said, this is, oh, God. He took 500 photographs. He said, I'm going to go back to L.A. He said, I'm going to whittle this down to 300. Then he ships it back to New York. They go through it. Then they ship it over there, overseas. I said, when do you think it'll come out? He says, I don't know. He said, I'll give you some heads up. I said, all right. Well, he calls me. It had to be 7, 8 weeks later. Hey, bloke, it's coming out next Monday. Well, that was L.A. Here, I knew the Nugget Market got him on Thursday mornings. So I go in the Nugget real early one morning, pick up the National Enquirer. There's nothing there. And I call him back. I said, there was nothing. He said, no, it's Monday. I said, no, they get their shipment on the Thursdays. And I said, I only know that because I see the guy come in. I don't read this thing all the time, okay? You know, Rat Boy, Michael Jackson still alive or whatever. So later that morning, I go in there, and there's new ones. I open it up. Well, I'm the centerfold. There's 10 color pictures in this article. I thought, wow. So I scoop them all up, and I go up to the counter, and the young lady's looking at me, and I go, Inquiry Minds got to know. I mean, there wasn't a paper to be found in town by noon. This was on a Thursday. Saturday morning, this is how new it was. I was still working on this side of the building because I had the diner. It was just about done. I'm over here working. This car pulls up, probably 11:30 on a Saturday morning. This is like right after that Thursday. And I come around, I look out. Here's this little old lady sitting in there, red hair. 5 kids stuffed in the back seat. Her husband, a big old boy, and she said, "He's here!" They come all the way from Quincy down here to see me to get my autograph on that paper. I said, "Well, of course I will." What a hoot! I thought, "You got to be kidding me!" Just unbelievable. Like I said, oh, I could go on for hours some of the stories, buses. I told you about tour buses. I used to call them little blue hair buses. Well, the last one was here. I changed it before they left. Really nice, nice older people, I want to say, you know. And I get on there, and they always want me to say something. I said, are you sure? I said, I have a tendency to have a potty mouth. One girl Shirley says, no, go on. You'll be fine. So I get on there. I said, I want to thank you from right here for coming through my home and my museum. This old boy in the back, I said, Bob, you got to pee again? He said, no. He says, I just want to tell you. He says, I've been through a lot of museums in my life. He said, but I've never felt so comfortable, and you're such a gracious host. I said, oh, God. I got a confession to make. What's that? I said, well, I call these little blue hair buses. I mean, I thought the canes were going to start flying at me and everybody, boo. I said, wait a minute. I said, from this bus on, they're now called the wisdom buses. So I redeemed myself. But that same bus, there was a little old lady on there. She's probably 83. She had on red leather pants. She is dressed to the nines, right? I'm standing right in the kitchen talking to a couple of other ladies. She tugs on my shirt. And I said, can I help you? She said, you know, I went out there. I looked at the diner. And at the time, on this end of the diner was a barber shop. I looked at that, the movie theater. She said, who are those kids in your house? I said, ma'am, you're in my house. Well, where's your bedroom? I said, come on. So I take her back there. She stands there. So she says, so this is where it happens. I said, not today, it ain't.
But, I like older women sometimes. Yeah, but
Yeah. Somebody said, well, did you check her portfolio? I said, ain't going there. No. Nah. No. And then pinup shoots. I've had 16 pinup shoots here.
Oh, I could see that.
Oh, yeah. That's tough duty there, I'll tell you. You know, scantily dressed women running around here. It's a heartbreaker.
Well, I'm seeing the men.
Yeah. Frankly. Oh, well, I have had no pinup shoot for men. No.
I'm just saying that this is a natural backdrop.
Oh, God, yeah. But the last one I had here was April of this year. It was a fundraiser, so I donated the property. It was a thing called Bands for Boobs. It was for breast cancer. There was 56 girls here that day.
Wow.
That's 112, no matter which way you look at it. Okay? Just saying.
Okay, I got it.
And I tell people, I said, I had 56 women in my bedroom this weekend.
Hey, what did you do?
Yeah. What did you guys do this weekend? But they raised $3,800 that day, so it was for a good cause.
Good deal.
Yeah, good cause. And, I mean, they're just all shapes, all sizes. I mean, it's just unreal, you know.
Well, I have to ask you, with Christmas coming up, do you do anything out front that's, or do you just say it's too much work and there's just, where do I even begin?
Yeah, one year, the city, they have this thing called Dickens Christmas or something, where they pick different homes to participate in this Christmas thing. Well, one year they asked me, and this is before I had this general store back here. All right, I said, you know, not that I'm a Scrooge, I'm just not a big decorator. I went from front to back, went to Walmart. They donated a six, almost 7 foot tree, completely lit. Put it back here. I had a girlfriend here at the time. I had her, my brother, my sister-in-law, my two kids, and a couple of their friends. We were wrapping faux presents. We had, I mean, big, small, 60 presents. My daughter Amy says, well, we never got this many. I said, go ahead, take whatever you want. What the hell? But I had like 60 presents. I had Christmas coming out the gazoo everywhere. The old stove in the front room. I went down to Nugget Market, had him cook me a turkey, had it sitting with the oven door open with dry ice around it, so there was like smoke, steam coming out of it. You smell
wow,
the turkey.
That's detailed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You smell the turkey when you walked in. There was Christmas from, I'm telling you, the diner was lit up, everything. Well, I got a chance to go through some of the other homes on the ritzy part of town. I walked in the house. I was hard-pressed to find any Christmas stuff. I really was. They were showcasing their homes more than anything else. You come in here, you get what you got. Hey, like I say, this is my house. There's no holes barred here.
Well, I was just thinking, since it's 50s, we had all like 50s decorations.
Oh, I know. I thought
just up front, not inside, but just as people.
Well, know. I remember the old big old Santa Claus we used to cut out of plywood and stuff
oh, yeah.
like that. You know, with the spotlight on it. One year, I will do that. I will do that.
Not
I
mean, this one.
No, not this one. Well, I probably could if I got my put my mind to it. But yeah, have the old reindeers and stuff up on the roof, you know, the Santa Claus, the whole Mary Ann. It'd be a hoot. One time.
The cheap, crappy tinsel, not the
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I've been on what they call a stroll through history. I've been on it twice. And they call it the stroll, the historical tour. When they come here, I said, welcome to the historical tour. They charge these people $25 a head to go through five homes. You know, it's for this. And it's a fundraiser.
Right.
You know, they do this. And we as the homeowner, we don't really get anything but the recognition, which is just fine. I don't give a rat's butt. The first year that I was on that thing, 750 people all day long. My dogs were tired. The docents that were here, they were tired. I was in the house here. I come out here, you know, bullshitting with people, go out front. There's 40 people lined up out front here waiting to come through my home. The docents come to you. One put booties on. I said, hell no. They don't need no plastic or paper booties on here. Christ almighty, give the place character. The other place, you had to put the booties on, you know, gloves and crap. Not here.
So in 50s mode, shall we say, see you later, alligator?
After a while, crocodile.
Can you imagine being one of his grandchildren? How fun to explore and imagine different worlds to play act in. As he indicated, it is available for event rentals. His website is reiffsgasstation.com, reefsgasstation.com. In my continuing celebration of national parks, I'm heading over to Charles Pinckney National Historic Site in South Carolina. Who was Charles Pinckney? Only a founding father and delegate to the Constitutional Convention. In fact, because he introduced a complete plan of government all by himself during the opening days of the convention, many of his recommendations having been adopted, he was thereafter referred to as Constitution Charlie. It should be noted that an inventory of his father's estate revealed an estimated 40 slaves working and living at the farm. Pinckney himself was a slaveholder and a defender of the institution of slavery, and adamantly insisted it not be included in the Constitution. His plan, however, for the new federal government did provide for the naturalization of citizens. The park, therefore, hosts a naturalization ceremony every year during Constitution Week in September. This historic site, located in Mount Pleasant, was once home to his Snee Farm, which grew rice, indigo, peas, corn, cotton, and pecans. Markers from archaeological digs indicate where slave houses, the well, and the farmhouse once stood, but fell into disrepair and demolished. In fact, Pinckney was forced to sell the farm in 1817 to satisfy his debts. Karmic debt, I suppose. Only 28 of the 715 acres remain essentially undeveloped. There's a walking trail describing the existing house, archaeological excavations, agricultural history, and how neighboring water and wetlands contributed to the plantation. This is the only site in the national park system that was owned by a signer of the United States Constitution. And President George Washington really did breakfast here. So you should visit. Do something different. Ask your waiters, waitresses, and bartenders how their day is going.